Good morning to each of you as we come for worship on this, the third Sunday of Easter, second Sunday after Easter, and the third Sunday of Easter, Eastertide. We begin with our invocation, and those of you who have it, we ask that you join in where you are. We enter your courts with praise, O God. We come into your house with thanksgiving. To you, indeed, our vows are to be made. You shall hear our claims of faith. Be with us now as we gather and be pleased with the homage we bring. Our opening hymn is Come, Christians, Join to Sing, 3 verses. We will then read the passage, Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." We ask again, Elder Page, are you on now? And we continue with verse 20. and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of these who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their company gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Here is our scripture lesson, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Early in 1761, two small earthquakes hit London. Soon afterwards, a rumor spread through the city that a well-known psychic had predicted a massive earthquake would occur on April 5 of that year. Gullible people were stunned and alarmed. Citizens of London began leaving the city, moving to other cities nearby, or setting up camps in the outlying rural areas, and then they waited for the big one to hit. And of course, it never did. Such rumors or faulty predictions have spread in this country from time to time. Fake news is nothing new to us. That's why some politicians play on the concept when they want to ignore or discredit or get you to disregard truth. They'll call it fake news. People have been misled by idle rumors since human beings first populated the earth. You'll remember that in the decades after President Abraham Lincoln's death, rumors spread around, and I'm not saying that some of you are old enough to remember what happened back then, but you'll remember from reading about it, that rumors spread around the U.S. that his coffin was empty. Maybe he hadn't actually died, it was suggested. Or perhaps robbers stole his body. The rumors became so persistent and intense that in 1887, officials exhumed his coffin to ensure that Lincoln's body was actually in it. Afterwards, they sealed the casket with a lead lining to defend against future crazy rumors. Such rumors usually turn out to be fake news. Only one such rumor has ever turned out to be fantastic good news. Imagine the rumors that got passed around Jerusalem in the days following Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, and resurrection. Our story from Luke's Gospel takes place on the evening of Christ's resurrection. Two of Jesus' followers are heading to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were probably glad to be getting out of town. Jerusalem was a threatening place right then. The Roman authorities and the Jewish religious leaders were on the lookout for Jesus' followers. They were prepared to quash a possible rebellion. They had no explanation for how Jesus' body had disappeared from a sealed and guarded tomb. And we ask that whoever has just joined us in the last couple of minutes, please hit *6 on your telephone. If you've just joined us, please hit *6 on your telephone. So the disciples were amazed. They were prepared to quash a possible rebellion in Jerusalem. They had no explanation for how Jesus' body disappeared from a sealed and guarded tomb. So they spread the fake news that his body had been stolen by his disciples. Fortunately, these two followers on the road to Emmaus had heard another rumor. This one turned out to be wondrously true. The rumor was that an angel had appeared at Jesus' tomb and told the women who followed him that Jesus was still alive. The two disciples didn't know which rumor to believe. The fake one, spread by the religious authorities, or the more fantastic rumor, which originated with the women. Nevertheless, this seemed to be a good time to get out of town. They were grieving, in shock, confused by Jesus' death and the strange rumors about his resurrection. Some of you know what it's like to suffer a loss and be overwhelmed by so many questions and emotions. I experienced that at the beginning of this week when I got word that a longtime colleague and friend had been found dead from the virus. This happened last Sunday. What made it so shocking was that we had just communicated a week earlier on Easter Sunday. For a few hours, I couldn't answer the phone or do anything. Yeah. How do you clear your head and think straight and go back to business as usual? These two disciples were working on that as they walked the 7 miles to Emmaus. If you've just joined us online, we ask that you go to the bottom left corner and hit the microphone there that says mute. So these two disciples were working on how to deal with this bad news as they walked the 7 miles to Emmaus. And our Bible passage reads, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. What a reassuring statement. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Here's something you may not know. People in situations of extreme stress, such as mountain climbers, explorers, even survivors of the World Trade Center bombing, have reported experiencing what is today being called the third man syndrome. This is the sense that in your time of greatest danger and distress, an unseen presence or voice comes along you, beside you, and guides you to safety or motivates you to keep going when you're ready to give up. That third man syndrome. It happens so often that it's being taken very seriously by the scientific community. Of course, we have an explanation for that.
Look at myself.
Mrs. Brown, if you would have someone to hit the microphone on the bottom left.
Bottom left.
We see you. Please hit the microphone on the bottom left so that there's a line across it and it says mute. But again, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus who are wrestling with questions and fears experience the ultimate third man event. What a reassuring statement. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Jesus knows the disappointments and pain and fear in our hearts. He knows that we wrestle with understanding God's ways. So why didn't Jesus just reveal himself as the risen Messiah and take away all their pain? Here's the answer. Please listen closely. The answer is, it's because the greatest blessing God can give us is not an easy life. The greatest blessing God can give us is the knowledge that he is with us. In all our changes, in all our challenges, in all our struggles. Russell Okung, a football player with the Los Angeles Chargers, lost his father at a young age. Russell became the man of the household, taking care of his mother and sister. He became accustomed to taking care of others and not asking for help. When he was in college in Oklahoma, a hurricane swept through his home city of Houston. Russell felt such fear and helplessness, knowing that he was 500 miles away from his family and he couldn't take care of them. He sat in the college chapel and prayed. He said that most of his prayers centered around the question, why? Why was his family going through this crisis without him? Why had his father died young? Why couldn't God stop the storms and the floods from hitting his family's home? And as he sat there feeling helpless, he sensed a voice inside of him saying, you don't have to do this alone. The third man within, the voice of the resurrected one, the voice of the Holy Spirit said to him, you're not by yourself. At that moment, Okung reports that he realized that he had never been alone. As he said about that night in the chapel, I knew only God could be my present hope. The peace he experienced that night convinced him to trust God with every aspect of his life, and his life has never been the same since. We see this theme over and over again in the Bible, and let me say it again. The greatest blessing God can give is not just an easy life. The greatest blessing God can give is the knowledge that he is with us. It's not an easy life. But it's the knowledge that he's with us in all our challenges and all our struggles. Sometimes someone has said, Jesus never gives a blessing without giving a lesson. You see, Jesus often asked for others to participate in his miracles. And it's not because he needed the help. It's because they needed to take a step of faith in order for him to act. I've come to realize that when you pray for patience, God doesn't just grant you a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. He sends challenging people and situations into your path. When you pray for wisdom, God sends you situations that require humility and discernment. We learn God's greatest lessons through the challenges he sins. I think that's why Jesus asked, what are you discussing together as you walk alone? A lot of people justify their disbelief in God by citing the miracles in the Bible. Impossible, they say. Unrealistic. Unscientific. But it's amazing to me how often God could have used a miracle to get his point across. But he didn't. He chose to work through average people and average circumstances instead. He chose to restrain his overwhelming and awesome power to invite us into the mystery of faith. And this story on the road to Emmaus perfectly illustrates God's restraint. Because of it, God's silence, and because of God's seeming absence in those moments when God's work or God's presence is obscure to us, it's in those moments that we sincerely search for him. That's when we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, if God answered our every prayer in our manner and in our time, if God acted in the ways that were perfectly reasonable and accommodating to our wants and our wishes, we would never need to exercise faith. We would never need to quiet the noise within us and listen to God's voice. We would seek God's blessing and gifts, but never really seek God. We'd be satisfied by the rewards, only by the brownie points. Maybe it's when God withholds himself from us that we stop taking him for granted. When we notice the lack, the absence, the void, that's when we set aside minor, shallow pleasures and start reaching towards God in sincerity. And so these two disciples on the road to Emmaus are discussing Jesus' death and the rumors about empty tombs and angels and missing bodies. And a stranger comes alongside them and asks them what they're talking about. And they think, what a dimwit. How out of touch is this guy? Because everybody's been talking about the huge Passover celebration and the man who claimed to be king of the Jews. Everybody's talking about his gruesome death and the disappearance of his body. Everybody's talking about it. Hasn't he watched the 6 o'clock news? And that brings me to our second point this morning. Sometimes it's in our time of loss that we become aware of God's larger vision for the world and for us. These disciples still saw Jesus as a prophetic leader, not as the Messiah and the King of Kings. They had hoped that Jesus would be the one to return to the throne, to Jerusalem. Now their hopes were destroyed. They were holding on to their vision of God's plan for the world when they really needed to open themselves up to Christ's vision of that plan. Christ would be leaving them soon so that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. That Spirit would lead them into all truth. That Holy Spirit would comfort them, guide them, and give them strength until the day that God's plan would be realized in all its fullness. Lucy of Peanuts cartoon fame, pictured with an air of discouragement, raises the question. And you know, little Lucy always puts her hands on her hips. Do you think that life has any meaning when you have failed 9 spelling tests in a row and your teacher hates you? Well, most likely for very different reasons, I suspect that most of us have experienced our own times of despair and questions like little Lucy. A time when it feels as if all of life is falling in upon us, including right now, during this COVID-19 pandemic. Each of us has known times of anguish and despair, times when we have felt all alone, times of confusion and pain. John Wesley spoke of his experience of encountering the grace of God firsthand. For him, it was a time when his heart, like Cleophas and his companion, was strangely warmed. Burning hearts strangely warmed. Are these not indications of an Easter power and presence within us, the gift of the risen Christ Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Burning hearts strangely warmed, our hearts ablaze with the promise of resurrection and new life, with the fantastic news that fear and death do not have the final word, and that love is stronger than hate, that peace is a real possibility. This isn't fake news. This is fantastic good news for the world and for us. God has placed us in a world where we sometimes must struggle, and we struggle mightily against forces we don't understand all the time. But God doesn't leave us alone. God is with us, and if we will let him, God will use those times of struggle to enable us to grow into persons who are fit to share eternity with him. But here's the final thing to be said. When you meet Jesus in your struggles and understand the hope he offers, you should find the motivation to share the good news with others. No one knows for sure where Emmaus was. It appears that the town itself doesn't exist anymore. But Emmaus doesn't need a physical location. Where is your Emmaus? Where is the place in your life when you're grieving and hopeless and the presence of Jesus becomes real to you and you turned around and went back to share your joys with others? Where is your Emmaus road? That's what the disciples did. They encountered Jesus and they turned around and went back and shared it with others. They went through times of terrible struggle and persecution after Christ left them. But through the power of his Spirit, they found a joy so great that they were motivated to share it with everyone they met. And that word then has been passed to us. When James Rowell was 6 years old, his father went to prison, and his mother abandoned him in a Dallas orphanage. Although it's supposed to be a Christian place, the orphanage was a very abusive environment. When James left there at the age of 17, he was angry and lost, and he wandered into a wild lifestyle. One night, he fell asleep while driving and crashed his car. James' best friend died in the crash. James was charged with negligent homicide. To pay for a lawyer, James began selling drugs. He was soon arrested for that too and faced a 20-year prison sentence. It was while he was sitting in jail waiting for his sentencing hearing that James recalled a Bible verse that he had learned when he was a child. It was Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." James read that scripture. And his prayer that day was, "Lord, here's what's left of me. Here's what's left of my life. You can have it." A few days later, James' court-appointed lawyer told him that the judge had sentenced him to 2 years in the Texas State Penitentiary. Amazing! From a possible 20-year sentence to a 2-year sentence? This allowed James to enter prison with the firm conviction that God had heard his prayer and that God would use his time there for good purposes. After a year behind bars, James began praying for early release. As he read his Bible, he came across the story in Mark chapter 5 of the demon-possessed man who was healed by Jesus. The man begs to go with Jesus, but Jesus answered, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." When James read that, at that moment, that third voice, that third man syndrome hit. And at that moment, James knew he would get early release, so he too could tell his story. Guess what? 1 week later, the judge commuted his sentence and sent him home. James began sharing his faith with friends and family. He eventually became a pastor and then the chaplain for the University of Colorado football team. He and Bill McCartney, former coach of the UC football team, went on to found the Christian men's ministry, Promise Keepers, which has inspired millions of men to be better husbands, fathers, and leaders in their community. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, James Ryle's encounter with Jesus changed his life. He returned home to share the joy of the experience with others, and millions of lives have been changed because of his witness. There's an old Celtic prayer that reminds us that Jesus knows our hearts. He knows our disappointments and our heartaches, and that may be why he chose to return to his disciples in such an ordinary state. In the upper room, he showed the disciples his wounds. On the road to Emmaus, he appeared as an average traveler, and each time the disciples experienced overwhelming joy and peace in his presence, and he still promises his presence to us today, wherever our journey takes. So I'd like to close with this prayer as a reminder that as Jesus sends us out to do his work, he also is with us, equipping us for the work. That's the fantastic good news for today. Let us pray. May the Christ who walks on wounded feet walk with you on the road. May the Christ who serves with wounded hands stretch out your hands to serve. May the Christ who loves with wounded heart open your hearts to love. May you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet. And may everyone you meet see the face of Christ in you. Amen. We turn now to our time of concern. And we've asked that, you know, elders would accumulate that information. Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan of United Presbyterian Church will be sharing the information for the United Church in Patterson. And I'm going to ask Elder Page, are you on now? Elder Page, we hope everything's okay. Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan, are there concerns that you would wish to share from United Patterson?
Yes. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Sure. Okay.
Okay, we just lost you for a second. If you would either get closer to your computer or speak into your phone.
Okay. All right, I was saying that continued prayers for Pastor Jones.
Okay, you're fading in and out. You must be on a cell phone.
No, I'm on the computer.
Okay.
I think my internet is a little spotty. Can you hear me now?
You're fading in and out.
I don't know what I can do about that.
Okay, can we come back to you? Maybe there's a control or something you can hit and we can come back to you.
Okay, sure.
All right, Elder Fiona Harrison Butts, are there prayer concerns that you wish to share?
Yes, I spoke to Vera Jones, a member of our church, and she informed me of a number of people who have passed away for various reasons, and I just would like to read their names for you today. So Dolores Hinton's aunt, and Betty June's friend, Arthur Jones' brother-in-law, Ed Cotton, who's a family friend, and now Maurice Hinton's nephew, son of Dolores Hinton, also passed as well.
So several members of the Hinton family who are related to Vera Jones.
Yeah.
Elder Melvin England, are there prayer concerns you wish to share?
Yes, for Care Group 3, we just want to keep Roy and Norma King in prayer, who are safe but unable to see their children right now due to the pandemic situation. That's all we have.
All right, thank you. Elder Edward Chang Sung.
At this point in time, I have no prayers or concerns for anyone.
All right. Elder Menon Matthias Frederick.
Good morning. I have concerns, prayers of safety, and continued health for Carl and Sylvia Brown, who were not able to join this morning, but I want to keep them safe and prayered up.
Okay. Carl and Sylvia Johnson?
Johnson, I'm sorry.
Yes, okay.
Thank you.
All right. Elder Edgar Miller?
Sister Mary Coleman asks prayers for continued health and safety for our dear sister, Dr. Flora Macklin, as she quarantines down with family in North Carolina. And also the Peter family, specifically Carl Peter, asked for prayers for our first line helpers, he calls it, regardless of whether they're in the medical field or delivering food or whatever have you, that you know, we continue to pray for them. And my family, I wish to ask prayers for relatives, Jazz Ray Landis, who is recovering from COVID. She's doing well. Bruce Rojas was in ICU and now he's recovering. And Belisario Rojas, unfortunately, passed away earlier last week. Belisario is actually the dad of Bruce. And my wife has two friends that we want to give a Thanksgiving for, and that's Deborah Alexander's dad. We had spoke about him. He was originally on a ventilator. He's now been taken off, and he's breathing on his own. And then Melissa, this is a non-COVID now. Melissa Crawford's mom had a successful surgery last week.
Amen. All right, thank you. Elder Elizabeth Adapo.
Yes, a prayer request for Deacon Marion Greg Whitehead's daughter, who is still admitted in the hospital with inflammation and pain. And also prayers for Charles' co-worker Eileen, who lost her mother due to complications related to COVID-19.
Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan.
I'm here.
Perfect. Oh, we got you now.
Okay. I had to switch to my phone. All right. So, yes, I was asking for continued prayers for Pastor Jones. He's showing small improvements, nothing big, but small improvements.
Amen.
So we continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for the Davis Miller family, who lost another family member to COVID-19. Frank McLaurin and family, Erica Gordon and family, Alonzo Moody, Celia Gardner, Michael Peterson, Renee Taylor, Elder Cook, Deacon Beverly Cook, Myra King, Sandy Williams, Willamae Taylor, Winifred Reynolds, Jason and Tracy Kelly. And of course, family of Michelle Mackinoff and family. And that's it.
Yes, it's me.
If you wanted me, I've
I hear a voice.
That's all from me.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And we will check on Elder Page and see if everything is okay there. Since he had said he would be online this morning. So we're going to check on him after the service.
Yes, I checked, but I haven't heard from him.
All right, then. Okay. Let us then, as we've heard the concerns that have been raised, the names that have been raised, let us offer our silent prayers for them. I would add to the prayer list the family of the Reverend Grace E. Bowen. This was the colleague of mine who died last Sunday. And before we begin our prayer, let me just share with you a little story. One Sunday, a vicar was doing a children's talk using a telephone to illustrate the idea of prayer. You talk to people on the telephone, but you don't see them on the other end of the line, do you? Said the vicar. The children shook their heads, no. Well, talking to God is like talking on the telephone. He's on the other end, but you can't see him. He's listening, though. And just then, a little boy piped up and asked, what's God's number then? Well, we don't need a telephone number to get through to God. There's an old gospel hymn that I remember my mother singing. It said, I've got a telephone in my bosom, and I can call him up whenever I want. Then there's another one that says, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. So the concept, it's been understood that we don't need a telephone to get through to God. We just need to know Jesus. He walks beside us by his spirit. We can talk to him at any time. He wants to keep talking to us, and he wants us to keep talking to him. He always listens. He always understands. Let us pray. As we remember those who have been named, and those who have not been named, we've heard a lot of bad news, but we want to celebrate some good news too. We want to celebrate Maxwell Butts, who turned 17 this week. We want to celebrate all those who continue to serve others in various ways, whether health care workers, whether the folks who make our deliveries, whether working in the grocery store. We want to remember them all. Oh God, we are a people of promise. Thanks to your abiding grace. Through the gift of your Son, Jesus, we are born anew. You do not forsake us when we stray from your way. You've sent us the Christ, who shows us your will. In our distance from you, he has redeemed us from exile and been by our side. He brings us the light to illumine your desire and shows us our error when we disobey you. In Christ, we have confidence that you will set things aright. For all that you do for us, Lord, we come this morning and we say thank you. We pray for all who have their own Emmaus to reach. Those eyes have not seen that Christ lives in their midst. We pray for those who fear what the future holds. We pray for those losing control of who they shall be. Help us, Lord, to show them what it means to be filled with the Spirit. We pray for those seeking to cope with the pressures that they face. Help us, O Lord, to dare to remind them to let go and let God. We pray for those who fashion ideals of what Christ ought to be. Help us to encourage them how to obey his command. Help us to guide them to take their first leap of faith. May they discover through their trust that you do not leave them alone. There are others, Lord, we have not named. We lift them up in prayer this morning. All those who have been named, we lift them in prayer. We lift up in prayer those who have not heard the good news and now wonder what it means. Hear our silent prayers, Lord, the agonies of our hearts. Help us to form a circle of care and concern. Help us to be encouragers. Help us to be mature in our faith. Help us, O Lord, to reach out to each other so that together we may grow in fulfilling Christ's call. While our hearts burn within, open your presence to us, O Lord, as we pray in the manner in which we've been taught to pray. Saying,
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number one. Oh, you don't have your hymn book, so I'm getting ready to announce the hymn number. But the closing hymn is That Easter Day with Joy Was Bright. In God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, live as those whose souls have been purified by the blood of the Lamb. Love one another earnestly from the heart. You have been born anew through the living and abiding word of God. And let us respond. That word is the good news.
Preach to us.
Preach to us. Amen.
Amen.
And greetings and safely to each of you today. We bid you Godspeed and God's blessing throughout this day. Amen. Go in peace.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
God bless.
Take care. Peace be with you.
Bye, everybody.